First Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. I wonder, has the Spirit said anything to you lately? That in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed or giving right away to seducing spirits. Mom and Dad, as you may be seated this morning, be careful what you allow your children to get around. There's spirits that will take them from you into a far place. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Jesus Christ is not some way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Father, we love you today. We thank you for this time together at your house. And we thank you for the old songs that we've been able to sing today. And Lord, we thank you that we've been able to sense and enjoy your presence. Now I pray that you'd let preaching be easy today. God, you'd help us with the Word of God. If there'd be one here lost, I pray that you'd save them, God, today by your grace and mercy. We'll be careful and honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm interested today in this text verse of 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister. I won't preach on this topic. Remember, brethren, these things. Remember, brethren, these things. Now, turn to the right in your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and I want to preach out of chapter 4 this 6 simple little thoughts there today before we go home on remember, brethren, these things. In verse number 1, I want to say this. Remember, brethren, there's a master worth serving. He said, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. There's a master worth serving. Notice he said the Lord Jesus Christ. We better remember that all things flow from Him. In 2 Corinthians, you can hold your place and I'll turn for sake of time, but in 2 Corinthians, you'll find in chapter number 8 and verse number 9, there Paul's writing, listen what he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. I'm so glad that you can't buy your way into heaven. If that was so, many of us would never have that hope and that peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you today that God left heaven in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, hung on an old rugged cross. There He throwed His arms wide. And the Bible said that He bowed His head and cried and said, it is finished. Can I tell you, the sin debt was paid for men, women, boys, and girls all across this world. And I'm going to tell you, it would do us to remember there is a master worth serving. In James 2 and verse number 5, here the Bible simply says this. He says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" You know, I'd rather be in a pair of overalls and Brogan shoes, not have one thing in this old world, than to know that my name was written down yonder in glory land. The devil may tell you that you hadn't got much, but let me tell you, weary pilgrim, if your name's written down in that book above, you got more riches than this world knows anything about. The banker may come get your house, the car man may come get your car, but honey, I'm glad that I'm secure in the book of God this morning, where His Son paid the price that I could go to heaven. I thank God there is a master worth serving. And I love Him. A lot of churches have lost focus of Him. A lot of Christians has lost focus of Him. My mama had a saying in Tennessee. She'd say, "Boy, you better always remember this. You better never forget where your bread's buttered." Let me tell you, God's been good to us. And we better never forget there is a master worth serving. Paul is writing to a young preacher here in Timothy, and he reminds us of some things. He not only says that there's a master worth serving, but look in verse 2, Brother Tim, there's a message worth sharing. He said, "Preach the word." Boy, that helped a lot of preachers, wouldn't it? Preach the word. Be instant. In season, out of season. In other words, when they like preaching, preach. When they don't like preaching, preach. Preach the Word. Don't preach what you think. Preach what the Holy Ghost has done put in the Bible. The Word. Let me tell you, long as I'm in the Word of God, I have nothing to apologize. I didn't write the Bible. I just read out of the Bible. And can I tell you, we must preach the Word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Now look what your preacher's supposed to do. Reprove. That means go against. Rebuke. That means stand against. Then look what he says. Exhort. You say, "Preacher, you're not a very sweet preacher. Why am I supposed to be a standing against two-thirds of my message?" And my goodness, the way this world is a-raging, if there's ever been a time a preacher needs to be standing on the Word of God and a congregation, it is this morning. And I want to say something. A preacher can't stand all by itself. They three or four are looking around. Honey, let me tell you, it's time to go to serving God. Appreciate how good He's been to you. And unless you stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Preach the Word. Be instant in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Look at what it says. With all long-suffering and doctrine. I want to say there is a message worth sharing. You know, one of the greatest messages that I've ever heard is in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 3. Says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." You see, to be saved is a Bible word. It means secure. As there's been many stood and testified this morning, can I ask you today, just as your preacher, before we go home, has there ever been a time that you've seen yourself as a sinner? I'm talking about realizing you couldn't get to heaven by your own efforts because this Bible says we can't. And then we just come clean with Christ, move to Him with our heart and ask Him, "Lord, save me." a sinner. I'm not asking you if you joined a church. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. After you get saved, you ought to do both. But let me tell you this morning, your church membership's not going to get you to heaven. For God sent His Son. Look what He says. It's good and it's acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved. Now, time out just a minute. It don't matter what you've done, and it don't matter how long you've been doing it. Jesus can save you this morning. And not only can He save you, He wants to save. That's an amazing thing. As far away from God as I was, I'm glad Brother Mike, God had love about me when I never knowed Him. And come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth about yourself and the truth about Christ. Dear God, I need You. And that's the truth. And therefore He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man. Christ Jesus. You know what He said? He says, there's one God. There's men. He said, God put one man between to get men to God. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. Did you know when you come by faith and you come to Christ, Christ has got a hold of God. He'll reach hold to you. Bring you together. And I sure am glad I've got a God that can reach way down to where I was. Now, sure, I'm glad I've got a God that's interested in me this morning. Oh, you'll never know God except by His wonderful Son. And then He says, look at verse 6, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I want all the little children in the congregation this morning to know that Jesus paid a price for you. Mom and Daddy, I want you to know today before you leave and go home to your house that Jesus paid a price for you. And you can take advantage of this great price that He's paid by grace through faith this morning. I'm going to tell you some things that the brethren needs to remember. There's a Master worth serving. He's been good to me. And I say thank You today. I'm not ashamed to raise my hands toward heaven and say, God, thank You for how merciful and how long-suffering that You've been to me. There's a Master worth serving. There's a message worth sharing. But then look in 2 Timothy 4. There's a multitude worth saving. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, in the same text, verse number 3, for the time will come, will they all not endure sound doctrine? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, a lot of congregations there without of a preacher, they say, well, we're looking for a preacher. But when they get a preacher, they found out they really didn't want a preacher. They want a politician. They want a puppet. They want a pulpiteer. Somebody that can entertain them. But oh my, this morning I'm telling you, there is a multitude worth saving. Look what He says. He said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. How many people in this world today is lost without Christ? They'll die without Jesus and in hell they'll lift their eyes. That's Bible doctrine. And I'm going to tell you, we better remember there is a multitude worth saving. Today is our mission Sunday. Our Macedonia missions. You'll notice behind your pew there's an envelope there that we always give to our mission program the first Sunday of every month. You know the reason that I do that, beside God requires it of me and I feel like that's what He wants me to do. There's sinners on their way to hell. And unless God reaches them with a glorious gospel through a missionary, through a preacher, through a servant of Christ, there is a multitude that is dying without God in our nation. When I went to the Philippines, one of the Filipino pastors asked me something. A light went on several years ago. He said, "Preacher, now we know go to the Philippines, we go to America. Can I tell you, used to America sent preachers to the Philippines to share the gospel. Now the Filipinos are sending preachers to America that they may hear the gospel." Isn't that sad? As many churches as is in America, there's a multitude dying without God. We better never remember and lose our focus. There's a multitude worth saving. You know, it doesn't matter what people have done, the lifestyles that they live, it soon comes back to haunt them. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we must never forget our compassion of lost people. That if it wasn't for the grace of God, many of us would be where they are. And I want to say today, brethren, remember these things. There's a master worth serving. There's a message worth sharing. There's a multitude worth saving. And then in verse 5, Brother Jason, there's a ministry worth shouldering. The Bible said, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry." There's a ministry worth shouldering. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." There's a ministry worth shouldering. You know, I was looking there today, and as a pastor, I noticed things that many people don't look at a lot of times, but I seen Brother Jonathan and Miss Anna's little old boy looking at them up there singing. He's propped on the bench looking, and I looked. Our little grandbaby, Sailor Reese, was beside him looking. This is what the devil won't show you, Mama and Daddies. You're putting things in children that this world cannot get out just by having them in a church service where the gospel is preached and the saints of God are worshiping God. And let me tell you, this is a ministry worth shouldering. It's worth coming to on Wednesday night. It's worth coming back on Sunday night. It's worth coming to on Sunday morning. Let me tell you something. We need to keep the church house open. A ministry worth shouldering. Thank God for people that have put their shoulder to the plow. Pray for their preacher. Pray for others. Love God, keep themselves clean, and serve Him, and worship Him in spirit and truth. It's a ministry worth shouldering. Then, look what Paul says. He says in verse number 5, "Watch in all things, endure afflictions." Hard times is going to come, Mom and Daddy. Young families, I'd love to be able to tell you today, if you'd serve God, hard times won't come, but that's not the Bible. Hard times are coming to all of us. But aren't you glad you got somebody to walk in hard times with you? And let me tell you, there are no big ones here and there are no little ones here. There's nobody here on a tree limb above you this morning. Matter of fact, if I smell it, I'll try my best to do something. We need each other. We're all even at Calvary. Jesus is Lord. We all have mistakes. We all fighting a real devil. We all got homes that the devil's wanting to break in. We've all got little ones that the devil's wanting to capture their soul. It's a fight. It's a battle. And you better get in this battle with both feet. Be a man. Be a daddy. Be a mama. Be a granddaddy, be a grandma, be somebody your family can count on this morning. Oh, there is a ministry worth shouldering. Then verse 6, there's a memorial worth suffering. Look what Paul said, "I'm now ready to be offered. Time my departure is at hand." You know, Brother Gerald, what I hope and pray about, I've been preaching another 30 years. I doubt I got 30 more. The way some of y'all look, I ain't got 12 more. But I hope if my young'uns outlive me, Brother Mike, one of the greatest things they ever say is when they walk by their daddy's casket is, my daddy stayed faithful to Jesus. My daddy didn't crumble to religion. My daddy could not be bought off. My daddy could not be swayed. He believed that Bible and he stood on it. Can I tell you, we're going to meet a God one day. We're going to give an account of what we've done in this life. And honey, when the bus pulls up, I don't want to get on it with my head down. I want to get on it with my heart right. The love of God in my soul. Thanking Him of how good. Well, glory that He's been to. God been good to anybody on Sunday morning. Paul said, I'm now ready to be off, for the time of my departure is at hand. It says a ship setting up the sail and the wind taking them out. We're going to leave this life. Young people, I'd love to guarantee you'll live to be as old as I am, but the Bible don't guarantee you that this morning. What the Bible does guarantee is that you can be saved if you'll trust Christ. What Jesus does, He'll change your life. You see, there's a memorial worth suffering. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Can I tell you, it is a fight. But it's a good fight. Now, some of y'all don't never fight nothing. And some of you fight all the time. But every day of my life, I've got to fight some things. Number one, that fellow that looks at me every morning when I get up, I got to fight him. He's looking at me. He don't want to act right. I mean, he don't want to obey the laws of the land. He gets in the car. He wants to act crazy. He wants to back talk. He wants to do everything contrary to that book. And when I get up and look at him, I got to realize, you need to go on the cross today. You need to be crucified. This thing right here is something else. It's a fight. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Let me tell you something. There's no excuses for doing wrong. The Bible tells us that we'll stay filled with God, we can live right. And you got to want to live right. Me and my wife will be married 38 years, I think. Christmas. That's close. Honey, is that right? 38? Praise God, I get to go home with a happy woman today. You know how we stayed married? We wanted to. And at the end of the day, that's all I'm at. Do you really want to? She's had her problems. I've had mine, but God sorted every one of them out if we'll leave them to God. Now, if I listened to the people I worked with, we wouldn't have made it. And if she'd have listened to the women in her ear, we wouldn't have made it. But we listened to the Bible, and God's let us make it. I didn't contact Dr. Phil. I found out if I'd loved my wife as Christ loved the church, that took care about every problem I had. When you get old, you change. And that's why if you grow old together, you'll change. My wife married a young man when we got married. Lord, goodness, now I'm getting to be an old man. I'm glad she stayed with me. I'm glad to stay with her. You say, why you say that? Because I'm the preacher and I can. And I want to tell you, God's been good to me. God's proved Himself faithful when I ain't been faithful. We better remember there's a memorial worth suffering. He said, I fought a good fight and I finished my course and I've kept the faith. What a marker on a tombstone would say that. Wouldn't that be so positive? I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. What is the faith? The faith is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One way to heaven. That's by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Lastly, there's a master worth serving. Are you serving Him? Miss Emily, I want you to come. There's a message worth sharing. Jesus loves sinners. There's a multitude worth saving. Let me tell you what, Jesus died for everybody. There's a ministry worth shouldering. I thank God we've got a lot of folks around here that put their shoulder to the ministry. There's a memorial worth suffering. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. So I've been cut a few times, been hit a few times, been knocked down a few times, but I've kept the faith. Verse 8, there's a meeting worth sacrificing. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. Miss Emily, you just play something softly for me today. There's a meeting worth sacrificing. You see, in 1 Timothy 6 and 17, He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Let me tell you something. Everything you've got, God has entrusted you with it that you may enjoy it. But keep Him first in front of it. God don't mind you enjoying life, and He wants you to be happy. I believe God wants you to have great goals, great vision, and do all you can do for Him. I believe God wants you to live the life to the fullest. But He wants you to remember that He's God. And He's first in every decision you make. In every place you go and everything you do, He ought to be involved. Matter of fact, in everything I'd do, every place I'd go, everything I'd say, if I thought about Him first, I wonder how it'd change my direction. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. This morning you may be here and you've never been saved. I wonder, would this be a morning in your life that you would be willing just to step out at an old-fashioned altar and come to the Lord Jesus? Ask Him to save you by faith. I wonder if you're here today and you need direction in your life. You need help in your life. My sister plays this morning. If you're here today and you feel like that you need help in your life, won't you come? Trust Christ to help you. You may be here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You come, I'll pray with you. I'll help you pray. There'll be nobody looking down on you. They'll help you. But you'll have to come yourself and trust Christ to be your Savior. Do you need help in your life? You come this morning as our altar's open. I'm done preaching. Whatever you need this morning, would you bring it unto the Lord?